Well, hello everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to help our listeners hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and if you have questions and you'd like an answer to them, or if you have something you'd like to discuss, well, we cordially invite you to call right now. That number is 844-322-2742, and if it's top of the hour, 3 p.m. Central Time, you're hearing Basic Gospel Live, and the lines are wide open for you right now. We'd love for you to reach out and reach into the studio and speak directly with us right now at 844-322-2742, whether the U.S. or Canada, same number. Call now because it's Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Welcome to this Monday, yeah. And we certainly have had some hopeful news as far as the coronavirus is concerned. It looks like maybe the curve is flattening mm-hmm. in certain places, but it means we've done our part. We've socially distanced ourselves.
Yeah.
We've kept away. We've shut down businesses. We've done all of those things necessary to do what they wanted, and that was to flatten the curve.
And so, even you and I are sitting apart from
each
other.
Yes, we are. Yes, we are indeed. So there is some hopeful news there, which means, you know, maybe the country can get opened up again sometime in the near future.
Mm-hmm.
But all of that is on the states and the local authorities on how they're going to handle that. And certainly it's going to look different depending on what area of the country that you live in.
Sure.
If you're in a hot spot as far as cases of coronavirus are concerned, it's probably going to take a lot longer for your neck of the woods to open up.
Mm-hmm.
But as we've talked about, you know, as believers in Christ, let's be patient. Let's have some patience through this. There's so many people that are already yelling and screaming and those sort of things, trying to make things happen. And, you know, maybe that's the best way to do it. I don't know. But I think when we read the Word of God, we see a lot of patience in the Word of God. And certainly God has extended a lot of patience to us.
Sure.
And boy, did we ever need patience. I guarantee you that. But he suffered long with us until he could bring us to the point where our hearts were ready to receive him. And when they were ready, we responded in faith to the grace of God that he poured out on us in Christ Jesus, and we were made new. So God's patience toward us meant something really outstanding for us, and
yeah.
That was salvation. That was eternal life, and that's what we received when we turned to Christ by faith. So this is an aspect of love. Love is patient, and so I think as we believers kind of continue to walk through this coronavirus pandemic, let's let love be our expression of the faith that we have, and let's let that love express itself in patience as far as this situation is concerned. Well, with that said, let me read a passage out of the book of Romans. So our great resource that we are offering this month is When God Is For You, and it's a really detailed look at Romans chapter 8, four messages on Romans chapter 8. Last week we talked about the fact that in Christ there's now no condemnation for us, and there's a reason for that, because the law of the Spirit of life has set us free from the law of sin and death. And today I want us to take a look at the transformation that has taken place inside of you and me. And it begins with a location change. And it says, "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit." So here are two different people that the Apostle Paul is describing. Those who set their minds on the flesh, or those who live according to the flesh, and those who live according to the Spirit. Well, those who live according to the flesh, those are lost people.
Yes.
Those who live according to the Spirit, those are saved people. So all of us at one time lived according to the flesh. But now, because we have been set free from the law of sin and death by the law of the Spirit of life, we no longer live according to the flesh. We now live according to the Spirit. So because we live according to the Spirit, we set our minds on the things of the Spirit. And that's where our minds need to be as far as trials and tribulations that come our way, as far as life, whatever life throws our way, our mind can focus on the things of the Spirit. That's why we don't have to panic. That's why we don't have to give in to fear. That's why we don't have to give in to the things of this world. Why? Because our minds don't operate the way they once did. They are set on the things of the Spirit. Now, to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. So where do you want your mind to be set? I think it's obvious. You want it to be on the Spirit. Why? Because there is life and peace. For the mind that's set on the flesh is hostile to God. So when we were in the flesh, we had a hostility inside the heart toward God. Why? Because we were fearful of punishment from God. Why were we fearful of punishment from God? Because our deeds were evil. So that's how this thing worked out. So we had this internal hostility toward God. He's just out to get us. And that's how we lived our lives. Well, that hostility has been put aside. Something has happened to that hostility through faith in Jesus Christ. Now we're on the same page with God. We're in harmony with God. We're in friendship with God because of the work of the cross. So those who were in the flesh were hostile to God, for the flesh does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Why? Because the only thing that's going to come out of you are fleshly things, right, or sinful things. And you can try your hardest. You can do your very best. You can beg and plead. But if you're lost, you're in the flesh, the only thing that's going to come out of you is fleshly things.
Yeah.
And that will never please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If, in fact, the Spirit of God dwells in you, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. So if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. So what happens when the Spirit of life, or the law of the Spirit of life, sets you free from the law of sin and death? It moves you. The Spirit of God moves you, takes you out of the flesh and places you in the Spirit, and then the Spirit of God himself comes to live inside of you. So what's the first thing that's taken place to you as a believer? Well, it's a location change. Yeah. You were once in darkness, now you're in light. You were once in the kingdom of this world, but now you're in the kingdom of the Son, and whom God loves. Mm-hmm. You were once in the flesh, now you're in the Spirit. And because you're in the Spirit, you can set your mind on the things of the Spirit, and you can encounter life in a whole new way.
Yes, indeed you can. Bob, thanks for those thoughts. And friends, thank you for joining us for Basic Gospel. Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and we have an open line for you at 844-322-2742. That's good in the U.S. and Canada. And right now we're coming up on about 9 minutes after 3 p.m. Central Time. If you're hearing the broadcast at that time, it is the live program, and we want you to be a part of it. Give us a call, 844-322-2742. You know, it's the perfect response to the fear and unrest over this virus issue, one that brings confident assurance that we have not been forgotten. And I speak, of course, of Bob Christopher's wonderful message he mentioned a few moments ago, when God is for you. And friends, we want to send you a copy. It's our way of saying thank you for your contribution to support this message of love, the love and grace of the Lord Jesus Christ that you hear every day on Basic Gospel. God loves you. He'll never abandon you. And that's the message Bob wants to convey. Again, click donate when you visit basicgospel.net, and be assured that your gift will help us reach out to people around the world with the same truth of God's love and grace that has made a place in your heart. So be sure to request your copy of When God is for You when you make your April donation at basicgospel.net.
And Bob, this is just a fantastic resource. The chapter 8 of the book of Romans is the high mark of the entire Bible. Yeah. It's what everything is pushing toward. And if you will get a hold of the message that's in Romans chapter 8, it will absolutely change your life. It will change your life forever. So don't miss out on this opportunity to get this resource. and you're going to go through it and come out of it with lots and lots and lots of confidence in Christ Jesus. Lots and lots of confidence in the fact that nothing, absolutely nothing, can separate you from his love. And that's the way to live life, knowing that truth. So don't miss out on this. And when you give, we ask you to give generously so that others can get connected to the love of Jesus Christ. That's what your gifts to Basic Gospel do every single day of the year. God uses those gifts to connect someone out there to the love of Jesus Christ and to change their life forever. So when you give, you're going to make an impact. When you give, you're going to get this great resource that is going to encourage you in your walk with Jesus Christ.
Again, friends, donate at basicgospel.net. There's always a donate link there waiting for you, and we would love for you to exercise it right now if you can. Again, that's at basicgospel.net. And once again, the phone lines are wide open at 844-322-2742. We're here to serve you, our Basic Gospel listeners, and we want you to take advantage of the opportunity to reach into the studio and speak with Bob and me right now, 844-322-2742. Well, Bob, we had this question from John. He says, what is the judgment about? What and why would we as children of the living God be judged? Is judgment something that happens immediately or something we enter into like on Judgment Day? John gives an example. He says, when I was young, I had to appear in court for riding a motorcycle on private property. The verdict was guilty and the penalty was a weekend of community work. However, I did not enter into that judgment until my time had come almost a month later. I hope you grasp the idea of my thoughts and can give me some insight into these things. Thank you for your ministry and all you do in the name of Jesus Christ. That's from John.
Well, John, that's a great question as far as judgment is concerned. Now, all of us, when we come into this world, we are judged basically by the law of sin and death. We're dead in trespasses and sins. Mm-hmm. So that's how we come into this world. That was passed on to us by our parents, and it was passed on to them by their parents. And we can take that all the way back to Adam and Eve. Sure. So when they sinned, when they chose to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they died spiritually. Their connection to God was lost. They lost life. Now, they've passed that condition on to all of us. So when we come into this world, we come into this world under that judgment, under that condemnation. As Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 2, we were by nature children of wrath. But that changes when we receive Jesus Christ. So as we just talked about, there's now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus because the law of the Spirit of life has set us free from the law of sin and death.
Indeed.
So we're set free from the condemnation of the law of sin and death when we receive Christ Jesus. Now, there's going to be a time in the future that all will be judged. And it says, for example, in John chapter 5, do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming when all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and come out, and those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment. So if you are in Christ Jesus, you're just going to enter into this resurrection of life. That's the judgment for you. Why? Because you received Christ Jesus. So you have already been made alive together with Christ. You have already crossed over from death to life. And at that final judgment, so to speak, it's just going to be verified that indeed your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's good news for you.
Yeah.
Those who have rejected Christ, who have rebelled against the good news of Jesus, who have hardened their hearts against the gospel, then they're going to be raised to the resurrection of judgment. What is that judgment? That is eternal death, eternal separation from God himself.
Yes, indeed. Well, John, we appreciate your reaching out. Hope that's a help to you. Hope you'll contact us again if you have further questions. Once again, want to give the phone number, 844-322-2742. We would love to hear from you. It's about 3:15 if you're hearing the broadcast at that time. Central Time, well, we would love to hear from you because you can reach out and reach into the studio right now with a live phone call to Bob and me, 844-322-2742. In the meantime, Bob, a question from Candace. She says, I'm reading John 19, and I'm not sure I understand verse 11. In it, Pilate said, don't you realize I have power to either free you or crucify you? Jesus answered, you'd have no power over me at all. Well, let me rephrase that. I added a word there. Jesus answered, you would have no power over me if it were not given to you from above. Therefore, the one who handed me over to you is guilty of a greater sin. Her question, does Jesus refer to Judas or Caiaphas as the one who turned him over?
Well, that's the great question. I mean, you'll read some commentaries and they will say this is Judas. And then others will say Caiaphas or the Sanhedrin, the religious body, ruling body of the day. And they were the ones who all along were plotting and scheming against Jesus. They were trying to find witnesses that would corroborate evidence against him. None of the witnesses could come up with a convincing story. So finally, they just asked Jesus straight out, are you the Son of God? Yeah. Are you the Son of Man? And he said, I am. And with that, they say, he's blaspheming. What other evidence do we need? What do you say? And they say he's deserving of death. Mm-hmm. And so then they handed him over to Pilate. So I think in the context of this, how Caiaphas was the first to try Jesus, and then they sent him to Pilate, and then he went back. Pilate sent him to Herod, and then they went back to Pilate. I think he's probably talking about Caiaphas and the Sanhedrin here, who handed him over. They were the ones who rejected Jesus. They listened to him. They saw his miracles. They made a judgment against Jesus that he is an imposter. He's a fake. He's not really the Son of God, even though he's claiming that for himself. We need to get rid of him. So they plotted and schemed and made it happen in conjunction with Pilate.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's who they're talking about here. But some will make the case that it's Judas,
yeah.
But I think it's Caiaphas and the Sanhedrin.
Candace, hope that's a help to you. Thanks for reaching out. And Bob, I've talked so many times in the last couple or 3 months about our devotional. I'd like to hear you express to our listeners the importance of that and how it can fit into their lives as they start each day.
Well, a number of years ago, we decided to put out a daily devotional. And it just some thoughts about the key subjects of the gospel: forgiveness, resurrection life, the new covenant, the love of God, law and grace, faith, hope, and love. The things that are so important as far as Christianity is concerned and as far as our Christian lives are concerned.
Mm-hmm.
And so we wanted to put out a daily reminder of what we have in Jesus Christ, of who Jesus Christ is, of what he's accomplished for us in our lives. And so we started, and we've built quite the following as far as that devotional is concerned.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a great day. It's a great way to start every single day with a simple reminder of who Jesus is and what he has provided for us in his death, burial, and resurrection.
And it is free, and all you need to do, friends, is click subscribe in the upper left corner of any page upon our website. Of course, that's basicgospel.net. It will arrive in your email inbox every morning, and we hope you'll subscribe today. Again, subscribe in the upper left corner of any page of the website, basicgospel.net. Well, Bob, we have this question from Bernadette. She says, I'm writing to ask your views on the rapture. Do you believe the rapture happens before the 7 years of tribulation on the earth?
Well, the rapture is one of these theologies that is fairly new as far as church history is concerned. It's something that popped up in the 1800s. It popped up in conjunction with what was happening in the Middle East at the time when they were under the control of Great Britain, and how that eventually unfolded and Israel became a country. And So it's a way to look at kind of end times and what's going to happen and how it's going to happen. So the belief is that the church will be raptured out of here, that Christ will take the church out of here. Mm-hmm. There's going to be a seven-year period of tribulation. Then Christ is going to come back. He's going to set up his millennial kingdom, and the dominoes are just going to fall once that rapture takes place. So that's something that, you know, the Left Behind series talked about, sure. Something that a lot of the prophecy guys have put forth. And it's really found its way into kind of the corporate conscience of the church. But that's not how the church has always looked at end times. And I think when you read the Word of God, I think there's just a second coming of Jesus Christ. He's going to come back. Those who are here at his return, they're going to be changed and taken up with God. That's the rapture. And then the ones that are in the grave, those who have fallen asleep in Christ, that's when they're going to get their resurrected bodies. They're going to get that first, and then we're going to be changed, and we're going to get our resurrected bodies. And all that is going to happen at that one time, and then eternity.
Right.
And that's how I see it, and I think, you know, when you read the Word of God, that becomes pretty clear. 1 Corinthians 15, for example, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, when you look at the book of Revelation, I think that's how it's laid out. So is there going to be a rapture? Are we going to be taken out of here? Yes.
Yeah, sure.
But I think that coincides with the second coming of Jesus Christ.
It certainly seems that way.
Yeah. Yeah. And Bob, we also have a, looks like we have a Facebook question. Ted is asking about
Candace's call. Yeah.
Candace's call. I thought it was the father who handed his son over. Well, Jesus isn't going to say that his father has the greater sin.
No.
So in the context, he's talking about the Sanhedrin, those that plotted against him, those who should have known that Jesus indeed was the Messiah, that Jesus indeed was the Son of God. Why? Because the prophets and the law all testified to Jesus Christ. He had said to them, you diligently study the scriptures in hopes to find eternal life, but these are the scriptures that bear witness of me. Mm-hmm. Yet you refuse to come to me to have life. And not only did they refuse to come to Jesus for life, they move forward with a plot against him.
Yes.
To get rid of him.
Mm-hmm.
So they rejected him outright and even had said that he was doing his miracles by the power of Beelzebub.
Right.
So in essence, they had committed the unpardonable sin in saying that. So in this context, Jesus would never say his father has the greater sin. In
no.
God is no sin at all. So, no, God the Father didn't hand him over for judgment in this context.
Yeah.
It was the Sanhedrin.
Yeah. Thanks, Ted, for the follow-up question there. And, friends, thank you for being with us for this edition of Basic Gospel. Remember, we stream live video every day of this broadcast on both Facebook and YouTube, and you can find the links at the top of our homepage at basicgospel.net. If you have questions or concerns, well, give us a call at 844-322-2742. We'd love to hear from you and address your question here on Basic Gospel. You can call overnight. We'd love to see your call the next day and be able to address it tomorrow. You know, friends, as Bob was saying, knowing Jesus is a lot more than knowing about him, and being anchored to his love will help us all navigate the distress of these dark days of the virus and be assured of him, everything that we have as in security in him. That's why Bob's message, When God Is For You, can be such an encouragement in this time of worldwide upheaval. We encourage you to click donate, and when you visit basicgospel.net, be sure to request your copy of When God Is For You. Again, the big prominent donate link right there on the homepage at basicgospel.net. We would love for you to partner with us, friends. Well, until tomorrow at the same time, for Bob Christopher and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis with your invitation to be right back here on the same station. See you then. Bye-bye.